Hi, everybody, and welcome to Friends to Mankind C2C with Allie. I'm Allie. We're moving into week 3 across Canada, and the last 2 weeks have been incredibly eventful. Might I just say it's the 2 weeks that I actually know. In other words, I've been places where I've seen before, and I actually cycled home. Now, as we set this all up, I cycle away from home. I'm going to introduce Carrie Ann to ask me some questions about how this last week has gone and set us up for next week and our guest who's going to be joining us.
Oh my gosh, Allie, can you believe it's been 2 weeks since you started this ride?
It's interesting because you don't really think about weeks on the road. And some days it's just where we're going to be at the end of the day, where we have been, what's the next aid station, what's a specific target, where do we have groups that we're going to be working with or an outreach program. So it's more moments in time rather than actual time. So it's a really different perspective because it feels way more than 2 weeks.
Right. Well, and it's been, just over 1,200 kilometers, and you've made your way through 1.5 provinces.
Yeah, so 1,222 kilometers. I couldn't have made that up. It was quite funny because my lucky number is 22. Arriving at my front doorstep, my own house. So I literally cycled right to my front door, opened the door, walked in. So that was quite a cool experience. And then the next week, it changes a lot. We go from doing 1,200 kilometers in 2 weeks to 925 kilometers in 1 week. So it's about to get very intense, very fast.
Why is that?
Well, part of it is based on having to get to a certain target destination based on what work we may be doing in that area or where it's more hospitable for us to be taking a break. So they try to put us into major centers on our rest weekends. So this next week, we'll be coming into Regina. And it just happens to be pretty far away. But there's not a lot of major centers between here and Regina. So as we move across this the prairies. So that's one element. The other thing is that based on commitments that we have, we do different things along the way. We haven't had the opportunity to do as much. We've been working with the churches and organizations, but now we'll be doing stuff. And the other element is that we were going over mountain passes. You can only push so much. Now we're into flatlands, which has its own challenges. Wind being one of them. Now we have to really work together as riders. Solo riders will definitely have much more difficulty trying if there's wind. And also, there's not many towns and places for us to stay. So that's a big component of it. And I'm a little nervous, actually, going into the – people think, oh, it's all flat. It's great. No, I'm a hill climber, so, yeah.
You've always liked the hills. I know that from following you. Anywhere from your hiking to your mountain climbing and such. So I've been kind of following you on Facebook because you're doing your daily posts on Facebook. You're sharing pictures and everything like that. This basically happened the next day, I think, that we talked. It was in Salmon Arms, and you noticed a woman on the pier, and there was an ambulance and everything like that. And I know that was kind of a moving situation for you once you got the whole picture. So would you be willing to share a little bit about that and how Friends to Mankind message relays partners up with that experience that you had?
Yeah, so we finished up for the day, and I said to Rico, who's been the person driving and supporting me along the way, I said, you know, they have the most beautiful pier. Let's go to the pier. So it's later in the afternoon. It was a very, very hot day in Salmon Arm, as it has been throughout the trip. And that's significant because it plays into this what happened. And we get there, and there's an ambulance that has just arrived. And we see a lady, quite well-dressed, actually, passed out or laying on the side of the grass. And we were like, oh, what's going on? And there was a lot of conversation. And another lady came up and she says, oh, are you a C2C rider? And we do have T-shirts and stuff like that. And I said, yes. And she goes, oh, she goes, yeah, we knew you were coming in. She goes, that woman has overdosed. And I said, what? And she goes, yeah, we've been looking for her all day. And she originally is from Vancouver Island. And she went on to tell me a little bit about her history. She'd had issues with her family, had gotten into some drug culture and all that kind of stuff. And she'd come to Salmon Arm. And Salmon Arm has a faith-based mission treatment center that works with mental health. And so this particular lady had been able to get out of the streets in Victoria, where there is so many of the things that continue to keep her in that cycle, and get to Salmon Arm into this program. And she'd been doing very, very well. And as I said, the group and the organization, the center, had been looking for her all day. And they said that she had gotten word either from her mom or something about her mom, not sure. And it set her off. And so she ended up, you know, going and as assumed, she had a drug overdose. And so the paramedics got her off and going. And then the lady introduced me to her daughter, who was definitely had basically, she was 22 years old and had the mental capacity of a 15-year-old. And she was part of the mental health program that was in Salmon Arm as well. Same programs, different wings of it. And it had been funded a lot based on projects, not particularly our project, but projects like ours, our ride, and so on and so forth. And so I'm like, wow, it's truly like people are doing what they can from where they're at. And but it was still startling. I'm like, wow, this small town, Salmon Arm, BC, to see this person overdose, because I had spent time in East Vancouver. And, you know, people are so locked in there, and there's so many things that can be said. And she had made, you know, big strides to get out of that culture to make a change. As it turned out, later on the next day, we had heard from the church that had been working with that center, because they had heard that there was a rider out, that the lady had not overdosed. That was an assumption. She had had some alcohol because she was dealing with a traumatic situation, and it was very hot, and she'd been sitting out in the sun, and she got heat stroke, and she passed out in heat stroke. So, you know, I felt like so much to be said about that, like the assumption that was made based on her previous history, you know, all that kind of stuff. But the real shining point about it is people were looking for her. People, the center was looking for her. They knew that she was in potential danger to harm herself, not others. She wasn't violent for sure, but, and they were looking for her. And, you know, that says something, because on the streets, people take care of each other on the streets, which is, you know, a special community. But a lot of times you can get lost out there. Nobody knows where you've gone, and you can just disappear. And so because people were looking for her, you know, maybe they thought it was a drug overdose assumption, but they got to her in time. That, because the heat stroke could have killed her too, right? But she was still sitting in the sun. She was passed out in the sun. So, I mean, she could have had a major medical issue. But to all intents and purposes, she was okay. She had been treated in the hospital. She'd been rehydrated. She was back at the center and, you know, moving forward again.
So, Allie, how does this all, because on your Facebook post, it said this particular incident just gave your ride more purpose, or solidified the purpose of the ride. Can you explain what you meant when you wrote that?
Well, as I said, there was a lot of people looking for this lady, and you know, on the streets, you know, they do take care of each other on the streets, but you know, the program that she was in was funded by different things that like the ride itself. Not our ride. This program she was in was not funded by our ride, but rides like ours. And because somebody was looking, somebody took the time to check to see she was okay. No, people, even though there was assumptions, no, people did what they could from where they're at. And, you know, as you're pedaling along on your bike, you kind of are in a little bit of a microcosm world. You know, you're focused on yourself a bit. You have to be. I mean, it's hot. You've got to get your nutrition in and all that kind of stuff. And you've done your fundraising already. And I'd kind of lost focus. I'm like, okay, well, now what? What's the point? Right. So, and obviously, there was a great point to this is that we're all doing what we can from where we're at. And many, many times we don't know and we'll never see the impact of just, you know, thinking of another when you're doing something and the kindness and the compassion and really seeing people and I really seeing them. You know, not as a statistic or a group, but seeing people. And even now coming home, moving forward away from home, I said, you know, I say this in a way, I've helped try to help my fellow riders. There's lots of, you know, professional information I'm trying to provide, but it's not necessarily wanted. So you have to let go of that. And I kind of had to sit with this and I'm like, you know what? I'm not riding for my other riders, even though I would support them and give them whatever they need. I'm riding because people invested and there's people to be invested in out there and I can. And I can't fix any of these big problems, but from a small perspective, I can do a little bit. And whatever that little bit is could save a life. And in the case of Salmon Arm, people were looking for that woman. And because they were looking for that woman, they didn't just see somebody passed out from under a tree. They actually actively pursued her and she got into medical help. She got hydrated. And by the way, you can die from heat exposure and sun exposure and she's okay. And so it just drove that purpose that it's just like you cannot take a moment for granted to step out and you can't do everything. And
it's a beautiful reminder of the two messages that you're carrying across Canada in the ride and your personal, the reason that you're doing this. One is to break the cycle of poverty, but two, also to highlight the friends to mankind that you meet along the way and in the communities. So it's unfortunate that she had this issue, but at the same time, it's a great reminder, as you said, of how many friends to mankind there really are and how people are friends to doing it without even realizing what they're doing.
Yeah. And it's each of these towns that we've been in, I mean, particularly through British Columbia, just the smaller towns, Hope is a very good example. It's named Hope. And it's full of people that are, you know, just living on the edge or on the edge. And they're just, yeah. So, it's all perspective. And when things get rough on the bike, and they do, because you're physically exerting yourself, it's what I can do. And also the other third message that I carry is do what you can for those that cannot. And, physical disability, my mom has a physical disability, having MS, is just being able to do this. So, and that's Mito Canada's message, which is a charity that I also bring along on this ride. So it's really taking the gift that you're given and sharing it by rising to the opportunity to give back. And some, you know, that's not always just money. It's just, you know, recognizing all of us out there. So we may need to change topics because I'm getting emotional. So
okay, well, then let's do that. Let's shift gears a little bit, no pun intended, because I'm sure you shift gears on the bike. So let's talk about when you moved into when you moved into Alberta and you hit Lake Louise and you started to get into your home turf. Based on your post, there was a lot of emotions that were surfacing around that, and they were good emotions. So can we touch base quickly on that before we connect with your next guest?
Yeah, one of the things I notice is how much pure joy I have for my mountains and how spectacular they are. I mean, just unbelievable. And it was so good to see so many people respectfully spending time in them. Unfortunately, we had an incident that happened just before we got there with a tourist that had been, a couple of tourists that have been getting very, very close to the bears behind the fences. Like, these fences are not built to stop bears. So I had a little bit of an anxiety because our riders didn't have this consciousness around the fact that our bears, like, these are grizzly bears. And we had a grizzly bear come into our camp, which got our consciousness up quite a bit.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we were all brought into the compound. We were behind an electric fence. It was bear 138. The wardens were called in. They managed the bear. They managed us. Actually, they said that they have to manage people more than they have to manage bears. And no problem whatsoever. Like, it was great, and it was pretty awesome actually to see. I didn't see it. I was actually up taking some of my friends up to Marine Lake, so everybody was talking about the bear. But and I had some incidences. Like, we came onto the Bow Valley Parkway, place where I've trained so much, ran into my some of my old triathlon friends. So a clash of worlds happened. I agreed to sweep my fellow riders. So I came in last, so I would help get them through and so they wouldn't get lost, kind of connecting. And I got to be a tour guide in that way because we were going at a pace to share which mountain was what, and just an incredible amount of excitement about it. But at the same time, I was saying goodbye. So this is my playground, and so many memories. I mean, not saying goodbye permanently, but literally the summer would normally be spent in the mountains. And so, I was letting them go and letting what I know go. And that actually brought up some big things, that you have to let go of what you know in order to, flow into the unknown, which is where we all grow, where we all, see new things and experience new things. And so even cycling home, which, by the way, I have to laugh, I come into Cochrane just before Calgary, and we're cycling through Cochrane. All of a sudden I hear pipe bands, and all of a sudden there's a parade, and it's pipe bands and Scottish Vikings. Now, I have a very Scottish Nana who's passed away. And she passed away during my first marathon. And so physical activity has always been healing to me. And to have the pipe bands, I said, okay, so my Nana's come to visit. And that was a ceremonially interesting to get that to happen as we were getting into Calgary. But as I rode my regular familiar roads into Calgary, I said, okay, this is just a stopover. And as I said, I'm letting go of what I know and what I love, and it's always going to be there. And I'm going into the great unknown, which kind of gave me a perspective of what it's like. And I'm not equating my riding to somebody that's in poverty or anything like that. But one of the things that the ride works with is World Renew, and they provide microloans. And microloans are small based loans that allow people to build their businesses. And they do them both in North America and overseas, Africa, South America, and so on and so forth. And it kind of made me think, like, is this what it's like? Like, they've lived this certain life, and they never thought that they would ever get out of it. But they have this idea or this something that could happen. And then they get this loan and they're building into something. They're building a dream in complete unknown, but just basic faith and trust that this will be successful. And they literally open up a whole new world, and they change the perspective for their families and for the community around them, and it just, you know, or somebody that learns a new skill set, like when they're learning a new skill set, you know, it's opening a new future, but at the same time, it's incredibly fearful. You're so vulnerable when you're learning because there's nothing to hold on to. It's like, so the excitement isn't there. It's true vulnerability and exposure. And, so as we ride and we go into that unknown and I go into the unknown, I think about the opportunities that are being created based on the monies that we've raised and how much courage it is for those to step out of what they know, even if it's bad for them, and step into an unknown situation in complete vulnerability. I just remember there's an organization called Servants Anonymous, and it helps women on the streets. And they, on average, when they come off the streets and they're given homes and life skills, all that kind of stuff, like how to take care of their children, their babies, how to, you know, even do a banking transaction, how to go grocery shopping. But in order for them to be in these programs, they have to be completely let go of their past. No connections, no friendships from their past, nothing. Because the streets is you know, where it'll take them down. And they have to let that all go. And on average, they fail 40 times because they need that touchstone to go back to something that they know. And I've never thought of anything that I've failed 40 times that I keep trying. And, but yeah, so this is, okay. So that just that perspective of, yeah, this is in order to get out of the cycle of poverty. It's not just a matter of handing somebody something. There's an enormous amount of courage and vulnerability that they have to step into as well in order for this to happen.